Welcome to the Vicar Law Podcast, Protecting Legacies, Resolving Conflicts. I'm Lydia Vicar, Director of Vicar Law, where we specialise in succession law, civil disputes and litigation in Queensland. If you want to safeguard your assets, navigate estate planning with confidence, or resolve legal conflicts effectively, you're in the right place. Join me each week as we break down complex legal issues into clear, practical insights, helping you protect your legacy and find solutions with certainty. So let's dive in. Hello and welcome back to the Vicar Law Podcast, Protecting Legacies, Resolving Conflict. I am your host, Lydia Vicar, Director of Vicar Law, and we are continuing our September theme of Enduring Powers of Attorney. Now, if you have no idea what I'm talking about, head back to episode, I think it is 27 or 28, where I discuss what that Enduring Power of Attorney is. Because today we are going to talk about advanced health directives. So an advanced health directive is a document that I think falls under the same enduring power of attorney umbrella. Like an enduring power of attorney, it is also a form that is available on the Department of Justice website in Queensland. It is different to an enduring power of attorney because it deals specifically with medical decisions and health decisions. In terms of who I do them for, to be honest, I don't do them for everyone. Usually I do advanced health directives for people that are required to have them as part of their entry into a nursing home or even sometimes these days into kind of a retirement village. People are required to have advanced health directives. And I will do them for people that are quite elderly, that have very set ideas about how they see medical treatment and their end of life, or people that are terminally ill, and they've obviously had a lot of time to think about their end of life. It is for some people a confronting form, and when people say to me, oh, I want to get my advanced health directive done, I don't think that they're particularly necessary in those categories that I just spoke about, I do send them a form and I say, listen, have a look at it because it is a little intense. It's way more intense than an enduring power of attorney, and it does require you to really think about medical treatments that you would want to accept and ones that you don't want to accept, what you imagine kind of your end of life looking like if it got to that point. So the Advanced Health Directive can be broken down into a couple of sections. So it allows you to detail what your major health conditions and concerns are. And then there's a whole section on your views, wishes, and preferences. So what is important to you, things that are important to you, things that you worry about in terms of your medical and health decisions, any cultural or religious beliefs that you have in relation to your medical care, and things that you may want when you're nearing end of death. So it is quite in depth. You don't have to answer all the questions and you don't have to have a huge amount of detail, but if there's something that you want to say and include, this is the document to do it. Interestingly, it also allows you to put a preference of people that you'd like to be involved in discussions about your healthcare and people that you don't want to be involved in discussions about your healthcare, which I find quite interesting. It then goes on to really consider specific treatments and particularly life-sustaining treatments. I'm talking about CPRs, assisted ventilation, artificial nutrition, artificial hydration, antibiotics, and other life-sustaining treatment. Now, you go through this part with your doctor, actually. So it's one form where your doctor signs it off with you, and then you come see me and we sign it off together as well. So that part you actually go through with your doctor, and you can make a decision. It does allow you to say, so for example, with artificial nutrition, you can say, I don't know, you know, or these are the circumstances where I consent to the treatment. Okay. So this is the part where people say, oh, you know, do they have a do not resuscitate? We don't have that document in Australia. Bloody American TV has really brainwashed us. Like when people say, when are we reading the will? And I say, well, we're not reading the will because we're in Australia. Same concept. We don't have a do not resuscitate. The Advanced Health Directive is the document that says whether you consent to CPR in terms of life-sustaining treatment or not. And that is why you speak to a doctor. So your doctor goes through these treatments with you, what it could be like, what it looks like, who makes the decisions, and what it would mean for you if you accept or don't accept any of those treatments. You can also make additional directions about your healthcare as well, and also blood transfusions. That's the other one, because there are some very specific religions that don't allow for blood transfusions. And I'm not going to guess which ones right now because I don't want to offend anyone. But it is very detailed. So that's why when I say people that do them are kind of elderly, terminally ill, or have a serious medical condition, that it's because it's quite detailed in the concepts that you're going through and the ideas that you have. And as I said, after you go through that contents, a doctor signs off on it. So your GP, they can sign off on it. And then you come to me and I sign off it. There isn't a section in there to appoint attorneys for health matters, but you don't have to appoint them when you already have an enduring power of attorney. So you don't have to appoint anyone. It can just be your views, okay? The Advanced Health Directive can just be your views, or you can rely on the enduring power of attorney that you already have. And that's what I find most people do. We always do the enduring power of attorney with the Advanced Health Directive, and most people just rely on the enduring power of attorney when, you know, under this appointment of attorneys. It goes through kind of the same kind of questions in the enduring power of attorney in terms of having additional instructions in there. And then I sign off on it. I witness it and provide the certificate as with an enduring power of attorney. So it is a different document. It is very detailed. It's not for everyone at every stage of life. You really have had to have a think about how you see your end of life. And I find that the people that have thought about that are definitely older people. No offense to anyone quite elderly listening to this, but older people love talking about their death. That's just personal experience from my own grandparents. And then, you know, oh, now I've lost my train of thought. Is elderly or people that have been diagnosed with a very serious medical condition or a terminal illness, and they very specifically have ideas about what their end of life looks like. And in that circumstance, I very much encourage people to do them. I do think it's a great document in those circumstances to prevent your loved ones having to make that decision on your behalf, giving some thought to what you want and what you don't want is really important. And not allowing them to make those really tough decisions in circumstances where they're probably really grieving. I mean, this document's kicking in when you can't give informed consent. So you're likely incapacitated. You're likely at a stage of life where you can't say what you want. And it is beneficial to have this guidance for your loved ones. And I wholly recommend in those circumstances getting it. Like every document that your estate planning lawyer prepares for you, these do need to be looked at and considered because what you want might change. And I have had circumstances where attorneys will come to me and say, you know, what the principal is saying now compared to what is in their advanced health directive is very different. What do we do? And in those circumstances, it's really, really hard. And that, you know, the person's lost capacity. And so it's hard to kind of figure out, and you have to go back to best interests and go through the, you know, the decision mechanisms and how you get there. And that's why all these documents really need to be up to date. So if you think that you might want an advanced health directive, or you are an attorney for someone that has one and you're a bit confused, you can hop on my website, www.vicarlaw.com.au, book a free consultation with me, Lydia Vicar, and we can get it sorted. Next week, we're going to wrap up September by talking about QCAT, so that's the Queensland Civil and Administrative Tribunal, and the decisions that they can make in terms of adults with impaired capacity or adults that no longer have capacity, how they, you know, fit in the whole context. So Thank you for listening. I think that'll be really interesting. I made it sound really boring, but I think it's going to be really interesting. So definitely pop back on next week. Listen to that one. In the meantime, have a great week. Let me know if you need anything. Hop on my Instagram, my Facebook. I'm pretty active on them at the moment, and you can see what's going on for my practice. But otherwise, I will speak to you next week. Bye. That's a wrap for this episode of the Vicar Law Podcast, Protecting Legacies, Resolving Conflicts. I hope you found today's insights helpful in navigating your legal journey. If you're ready to take the next step in securing your legacy or finally dealing with your dispute, visit www.vicarlaw.com.au to book a free consultation with me, Lydia Vicar. You can also subscribe to our newsletter or find out more about today's topic. Your future begins now, and we're here to guide you every step of the way. Until next time, I'm Lydia Vicar, signing off. The Vicar Podcast comprises general information and does not serve as a substitute for professional advice. Prior to making any legal decisions, individuals are advised to seek independent professional guidance and assess the suitability of this information for their own individual goals and objectives.